Coming up on show 1370, Hyundai's IONIQ 5 gets updates for 2023. I'll tell you the good, the bad. There's no real ugly, but stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, we're talking about the new Kia Sportage, PHEV, or Sportage. You know, you choose your flavour. Ford looked like they bought one of those Lucid Air eBay cars. Really? I'll tell you why we think we might know. And Nissan to end development of their new gasoline engines. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for what happened on Thursday, 10th of February. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story every day. I think today was like 550 stories and news sources just to pick out the 20 minutes of stuff that you really need to know. So you give me 20 minutes, and I'll give you the world of electric vehicles. We'll start with the press release from Hyundai, at least here in the UK. The IONIQ 5 is going to get some changes for the 2023 model, but it's important because if you order one now, you'll get it next year. I think maybe November, December, if you're lucky. If you do an order from the factory, look, it's probably going to be the beginning of next year to play it safe. They say for the first time, the updated IONIQ 5 will be available with video-based digital interior and exterior mirrors. The DCM, that is the digital center mirror, optimizes visibility by providing an unobstructed panoramic rear-facing view of the car. It's installed below the rear spoiler. And of course, you may know or may not, the IONIQ 5 doesn't have a rear wiper. So that is a debatable decision. Obviously, had their reasons to do that, but it's going to be in an area that does get pretty dirty. Early IONIQ 5 owners finding they're often washing that rear screen. I don't know how much it will help, but it will probably give you a wider field of vision. Maybe they'll do one of those little squirties on the camera, like your headlights. That's an option as well. They said they also will option digital side mirrors, or DSMs. Available already for the Korean spec models. They say it'll be available in Europe for the very first time on a Hyundai Motor Group vehicle. They are doing it because they reduce the air resistance. And they say, again, they provide an enhanced rear view. But I don't know about you, I kind of put this one in solving a problem that wasn't there. So maybe you will get, say, 2 miles, say 5 miles more range. I think that's unlikely by using these digital side mirrors. There are some nice implementations of this. I quite like the way Honda E does it. Quite like the Audi e-tron way. But you're still going like, yeah, it's kind of okay. I can get used to it. At no point have I ever met anyone who drove an EV and went, oh man, that is so fast. There's so much torque. I love the power. I'd love an electric car, but it's got the old style wing mirrors, so I'm not buying it. Like, that's never happened. So maybe solving a problem that didn't exist. They're also increasing the battery size for the UK versions to match the US version of the battery as well, going up to 77 kilowatt hours. Battery conditioning is a really big one for the IONIQ 5. So they already have winter mode. That's already on the cars. But if you spec the, well, over here it's called the Eco Pack, and frustratingly, they even call the trim levels different things around the world. But if you spec the pack, I believe only on the top trim. Anyway, it's got the heat pump, and that's what you need to do the battery preconditioning. So if you set a destination within the car's sat nav to go to a fast charging station, of course, you're relying on that mapping being updated and that you can actually find the charger that you're going to within Hyundai's map. But if you do that, then it will either preheat or pre-cool depending on the ambient conditions around you. And that's kind of not unforgivable, but like, they made such an incredible car with the IONIQ 5. It does surprise me that this wasn't in the car from the beginning. Now, the existing owners, now I know the car just launched for my US viewers and listeners, but other places have had it a year. So the car's in the market already with the heat pump. Can they have it, please, Hyundai? And can they have it for free, please? Because they shouldn't have to pay extra for this, which does come on other cars. And, you know, in EV world, it's kind of a slam dunk. If you can do it, you should do it. I don't know. I mean, it hasn't got over-the-air updates. Correct me if I'm wrong. Any regular perusers of the IONIQ 5 forums? I don't believe that car has over-the-air updates, at least not yet. So that means a trip back to the dealer. Oh, God, just to activate this. If they even do that, I strongly believe they should do this for existing owners as a thank you, as a, yeah, your cars could have done this all along kind of thing. You've got the heat pump. If you spec'd it, You can now, and that's important because we've seen two videos recently in the last week or so from my friends Kyle and Tom, who both did charging tests on the Arniq 5, and it's not as bad as some of the owner reports on the forums in very cold countries, but they pulled about 60 kilowatts with a very cold battery, which I think is okay. I think 60 is all right, unless you've been promised the maximum speed. Again, that's a different show that we're going to do in terms of, is there any liability on these car makers when they say, hey, our car can charge at 230? If you're not like me, and I'm guessing if you're not like you, because you're watching an EV channel, so you probably, you know, you probably have a certain understanding about electric vehicles. A lot of people might not know about how cars get cold and different states of charge. And so somebody would plug in and get that 40, 50, 60 kilowatt charge speed and think, hang on a minute, that's not what I was promised of 230. So I'd love to know your thoughts on that. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes so you can read more. All right, moving on. The Kia Sportage / Sportage, you choose your flavour, is now coming in a new version in the US, 32 miles electric range. And I'm really conflicted on plug-in hybrids, but that's a whole different show again. Let me tell you about this car. So the new car is out and it's bigger in every way. I think it's almost 7.5 inches longer than the previous model that it replaces. So this is a bigger family car. There's now a plug-in version of this Kia. Obviously, you've got plenty in the locker, in the parts bin that they can raid from. Fifth generation of the Sportage was debuted late last year, and it was joined by a hybrid variant. Now we've got the plug-in version as well. 177 horsepower on the engine and a 67 kilowatt electric motor. Combine the two. You can't just add those two numbers together because of, I don't know what I'm doing here, but you can't just add those two numbers together. Hybrid-y stuff is difficult maths. But they do say 32 miles of range with a two-hour recharge. They've done a 7.2 kilowatt onboard charger. That's very reasonable. Thank you, Kia. And a 13.8 kilowatt hour battery. Again, you know, with plug-in hybrids, if you can keep them fully charged, wherever you go, shopping, destination charging, go to the cinema, go to hang out somewhere, go to a friend's house, got an EV charger, always be charging, then I think they work as a use case. If you're buying one because of tax breaks where you are around the world or for whatever reason, and you're just running it on the petrol engine, just get a really good petrol car and just don't haul around a big battery. But again, let me know your thoughts either in the comments below or email me hello at evnewsdaily.com. Ford starts deliveries of the e-Transit, according to Autoweek websites. The first customers get their vans. Vehicles are being produced at the Kansas City Assembly Plant. The start of vehicles marks an important milestone in Ford's electrification strategy ahead of the F-150, which we found out the Lightning is on track. We heard from Jim Farley recently to say, yep, this spring. It's a big window. Don't know what the exact dates of spring are, but hey, it sounds good that there's no delays on the F-150 Lightning. According to Autoweek, Ford offers the e-Transit in a variety of versions and wheelbases and roof heights. Three wheelbases and three roof heights. And as in a cutaway and chassis cab form as well, with a 126-mile estimated range. Has a 68 kilowatt-hour battery, single rear-mounted motor, 266 horsepower, starts at about 43 grand in its cutaway form. And of course, it is applicable for the $7,500 federal tax credit if that applies to your personal financial situation. I love this. And of course, over here, Stellantis have got a load of commercial vehicles, and I don't see too many of them on the road, but yeah, you can buy an Opel van, commercial vehicle, or people carrier, MPV, Vauxhall, Citroën brands, whereas in, I know my US listeners are like, this is great, because we don't have too many commercial vehicles on the market. Not many ways that we are ahead of the US. Growing up in the 80s, you always got the Back to the Future films before we did, and Indiana Jones, so it's nice that we get something first. So, again, fantastic, but more is needed if you want to buy an EV van as a work vehicle. I guess in the US you've got truck culture anyway. Now, did Ford just buy a Lucid is what we're asking to benchmark their own EVs against. Inside EVs have got some pictures sent in to them from Ford's Dearborn, Michigan facility with the Lucid Air in the car park posed next to a Mach-E. Well, it wasn't posed because this picture's taken through a fence. But they're not. I can't really benchmark that against the Mustang Mach-E. It's an entirely different car, price point and performance, etc. Now, the photo spies were sent in without any context, so we don't know what it was doing there. Could have been an employee's car. But what's more likely, what I told you about on the podcast maybe 10, 20 shows ago, was those three Lucid Air Dream Editions that we found on eBay. One of them was 80 grand over list price. I think it was 250,000 they'd put it on at. Now, have car makers gone, right, well, we want to see what Lucid are doing. Whilst they can't benchmark the Mustang against it, I'm sure Ford would still like to know what's under the skin. Maybe the Lincoln brand can learn a few things. Hey, the way that the auto industry has often worked is that when you release a new model, you send one to your competitors, and that arrangement is reciprocal, because you're either going to go and buy one anyway, and they're going to buy one of yours, or just get a test car or something that you can't sell anyway, and you ship it to your competitors, and it's kind of the understanding that was in place. Of course, in EV world, with the Lucid Air Dream Edition, 520 of those ever to be made, you're not going to just take 10, 15 of them and send them to your competitors. Lucid wouldn't do that. So, hey, maybe Ford have bought one. We don't know. It'll be fun to find out, maybe eventually. Right, coming up on the podcast soon, a couple of recalls. Samsung voluntarily recalling something from them. Third one from Tesla this week. And when will the Gigafactory in Berlin open? We have some news on that, so stick around. Now, let's talk Nissan ending development of new gasoline engines. Their internal combustion engines in major markets won't get any new development as they focus more resources on electric vehicles. No, this isn't a story that I'm reading out from 2016. It is indeed 2022. But a good thing that Nissan are doing. Nissan's already stopped developing combustion engines for sale in Europe, and limited development continues on gas engines for the US market, mostly like pickups and stuff like that, where there's a certain level of demand, says this article. Now, according to Nikkei Asia, who reported on this, here in Europe, the new Euro 7 emission standards are on track to go into effect as early as 2025, and Nissan determining the rules, which are pretty brutal, will raise the cost of developing internal combustion so much that it's actually better just to spend that R&D money on electrification. This is one example, actually. There's a few examples. China, obviously. What China wants, China gets. But also California and the EU, where the rulemakers can do various things, pull various levers that stimulate certain results. And actually, the EU rules we've got, these new fleet CO2 rules and the new Euro 7 emission standards coming in by the middle of the decade, are so strict that you've really got to want to sell a petrol car to meet them. So just sell an electric one. Hey, well done to the politicians. I don't say that very often. Well, as gas cars remain on the road, Nissan will improve existing engine designs rather than developing new ones. I'm not saying Nissan are going to stop selling combustion cars for a moment. Now, let's talk a couple of recalls. First one is Samsung voluntarily recalling some EV batteries they have in the US. They supply car makers like Ford and Stellantis, but a new NHTSA recall shows that there's about 1,100 of these high-voltage battery packs out there in the wild in 100 vehicles that could suffer what they say is a sudden loss of driving power due to a high-voltage battery error, expanding the risk of collision. They say it's triggered by poor welding between the cell terminals and the bus bars supplied by their suppliers. And Tesla having their third recall in a week. Let's not have the debate now about whether these should be recalls or not, because once again, it's an over-the-air update. Tesla is recalling 26,681 of its Model 3s, Ys, I'll do it in order, S3, X and Y cars, because the defrost doesn't happen quick enough, and it affects the car's 21, 22 models in very, very cold climates. According to documents posted again on the official recall website, the issue comes from a software error that opens up the heat pump unintentionally. This condition can trap the refrigerant inside the evaporator, resulting in decreased defrosting performance, it says. That means the affected Tesla vehicles might not match the minimum performance requirement outlined in the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards rules, writes CNET.com. And on Roadshow, well, they developed the heat pump back in 2020. Well, they developed it, I don't know when, but it went into the 2020 model year vehicles, firstly in the Model Y. Elon Musk at the time tweeted, "Model Y heat pump is some of the best engineering I've seen in a while. Team did next level work." Maybe it should have been next level work because something broke. But it doesn't sound like a hardware problem. It does sound like it can be fixed with software. Therefore, is it a recall? I mean, the cars aren't going back anywhere to be recalled, but it's on the recall. I understand there's a process by going on the recall website. The customers, if you've bought a very large asset, you want a degree of official process if there's something wrong with that car, rather than simply trusting the car maker, Tesla in this case, to have your back. I get that there has to be government oversight of something like a safety issue, but argue that amongst yourselves. Next, some great news for Tesla. The Model Y and the 3 are in the top five best-selling cars in California, including, according to new sales data, says Tech Times website. The best-selling car was the Toyota Camry in California in 2021, but only by a little smidgy-widgy, because just behind it was the Model Y. And definitely this year, if the Model Y continues to sell like it is, it'll be the number one car in California. Model 3 took the fifth ranking, respectively, and the Model Y sold 60,000, just over 60,000 units, and Camry 61,000 units. Model 3, 53,500 units in California last year. In California, plug-ins are 12.8% of the market against a US average, much, much lower, in the low single digits. Now let's talk about Tesla and production in Germany. Could start. It could start mid-March, says Automotive News Europe. Production at Giga Berlin could start mid-March, according to local broadcaster RBB. Authorities are reviewing their safety precautions, but they didn't cite any sources for the story. So, much like following a randomer on Twitter who has a leak or breaking news, exercise your own intelligent thought process on this one. But it's a reputable publication, Automotive News, so we'll go with what they're saying. Tesla is building the plant, the first factory in Europe, through a temporary approvals process, they say. Now, Elon Musk wanted to have the Berlin facility operational last year, by December at the latest, but there's been several bureaucratic hurdles, which means that the factory still isn't open. But they are moving forward. A Teslarati story that I saw earlier this week said they were hiring people to join their paint plant. The LinkedIn posts show they're looking for staff for their paint shop, which Elon Musk said would be one of the most technologically advanced in the world, and it will be because they're buying in some really good stuff from their suppliers. Tesla offers Giga Berlin paint shop employees what you would expect with a European employment contract over here, pension, benefits, 30 days vacation. Yes, for those that aren't in Europe, yes, we get a lot of holiday by statutory contract, various insurances as well. Now, the first paint shop plant going in, there was a an article from last year. You know, Rob, who does the Tesla Daily podcast, he used to work for The Street, or used to write, or they used to publish his stuff anyway, and not anymore. But an article from last year pointed out that Geico, Takeisha is the partner, is there. They're the suppliers of the paint shop. Now, the Tesla did put pictures out of the Berlin paint shop, and it had a different name on. But anyway, the best information I can find is that it's these are the suppliers of the paint shop for Giga Berlin. They provide one of the most innovative solutions to car makers wanting to build a paint shop. And I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes so you can read more. So yeah, it absolutely should be Elon Musk saying whatever the phrase was when he tweeted about having one of the best paint shops around. Yeah, they bought good stuff. It'll now match, you would say, the best that they could have got off the shelf out there for the various paint shop suppliers. And yes, Tesla paint over the years, it's a cliche, but there's, you know, elements of truth, obviously, from early buyers and even, you know, more recent buyers. Look, they sell so many cars, there's always going to be problems. But hopefully that does nail some of the paint problems that the reputation of Tesla has, rightly and wrongly at times, been a little tarnished with. Now, let's talk about Tesla and their new Cybertruck prototype. It's been spotted in a car park at the Fremont factory, and it's a drone shot. Always nice to see what's going on with this. This time, the staff are putting like blue tape on the floor. They've got covers all over the wheel wells and around the bed. It's pretty dirty as well. This is a drone shot that gets really, really close. And the Electrek website says, we're happy to get a close look at the vehicle, but we can't condone that kind of drone flying. And I guess they could have zoomed in, though. It could have been a long way away and they just zoomed in with the drone. I've only seen the still shots, not actually watched the video. And I'm going to say it because I spent 25 years in mainstream media as a career. stuff doesn't normally leak unless organisations want it to be leaked. So everyone's kind of gone mad over these drone pictures and gone, oh, wow, someone spotted the Cybertruck. But, well, Tesla are pretty good at developing vehicles, you know, indoors, see new Roadster. When they take it outdoors in an area that they know there's drones whizzing around, they're doing it for a reason. Ah, you can call me a cynical old git. I don't mind. Right, let's talk about spy photos of Lotus doing testing of their Type 132. Chinese New Year, couple of weeks ago, Geely's Lotus Technology department, they are developing this new all-electric SUV, the Type 132, and over that holiday period, some spy shots were seen, according to CNEV Post website. The images shared by this blogger show it wrapped in tons of camouflage, but we can see a very aggressive front end design, sporty wheels and bezel-less doors. The Type 132, or 132, not sure how I meant to say it, is, they say, going to be a better car than, you know, maybe a BMW iX M60. Brands like Porsche, Aston Martin and Maserati all launching expensive SUVs sooner or later. So Lotus hoped to get a bit of a head start on those. There's going to be four pure electric smart cars within 5 years from Lotus, all codenamed Type. Dot, dot, dot. There's a four-door coupe, a electric smart model, and a compact sports car as well. Let's talk about second-hand EVs, and they are selling at a record rate here in the UK. Demand for used EVs is off the flipping charts, with pure battery electric cars gaining value on the used car market. Recently, someone said to me, look, when are you going to buy a Tesla and get it out of your system? Just buy one. Just get it out of your system. I'm like, yeah, I would do. But used Model 3s are the same price as a new one, and I'd quite like a Model Y. Anyway, more than 40,000 used EVs changed hands last year, according to the lobby group, the SMMT. At the same time, shipping delays and a shortage of chips means that new cars' delivery times have been extended. You want a new VW ID3? Maybe even a 4? That's coming next year. Want a new Audi Q4 e-tron? That's coming next summer. Yeah, middle of 2023. Some of those wait times are so huge that people are going, well, I'll just buy a nearly new one or a used one, which is why prices of used EVs are going up. Second-hand electric cars that were sold on average in 26 days from being put on the market. The quickest seller, the Nissan Leaf, 17 days to sell. And now we'll go to Hawaii, the Hawaii Public Utilities Commission, approving a 5-year pilot program from Hawaiian Electric to encourage EV adoption and reduce electric costs as well, particularly the demand charges for commercial customers, according to Daily Energy Insider website. The program will incentivize through a time of use structure, rewarding chargers being used from midday when solar is at its peak in Hawaii. There's two different rates that you can pick from. EVJ is for level 2 and small-scale DC for the first 1,000 customers that apply. And there's EVP, which is for the first 500 companies in Hawaii that apply, and that's for DC fast chargers. These new rates offer lower demand charges than existing rates, and it's the demand charges that can be the killer. When it applies to EV charging as well, all to do with when solar is being produced. Well, that's the news for today. Question of the week this week with emobilitynorway.com. We'd love to hear from you. I'll read out all of your answers on Sunday, and it's been a really popular question this week. I thought this one might be. If you could do any job in the EV industry, what would it be? Let me know. Tell me why as well. I'd love to hear from you. Email me your feedback, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Your answers come in Sunday. Thanks to our Patreon supporters of the show. Couldn't do it without all of you at every level of support. It's incredible. Thanks to our daily mention of our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good day. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.